Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. As we continue to cover the financial crisis this morning, Governor Patterson coming up in less than 10 minutes. He led the charge for the AIG bailout as vital for New York. And it might be hard to remember given the week we've had so far, but in 2006 and 2007, the housing market was so rosy and lenders were so generous that in November 06, Tishman Speyer bought Stuyvesant Town and Peter Cooper Village, the large rent-stabilized apartment complex on the Lower East Side, for $5.4 billion, expecting to convert rent-stabilized units to luxury apartments for luxury-priced rents as they became vacant and were eligible for vacancy rent decontrol. So fast forward to today, and you see Tishman Speyer struggling to get those high rents and nervous about their future. To explain what might happen to Stuytown, especially in light of the financial meltdown this week, we're joined by Gerilyn Perrine, the executive director of the Citizens Housing and Planning Council, a private group, and former commissioner of the Department of Housing Preservation and Development here in New York City. Gerilyn Perrine, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, Brian. Thank you.
So Stuytown and Peter Cooper Village sold back in 06 for like $5.5 billion. $4.5 billion was a loan to Tishman Speyer to make the deal. That's a lot of debt. And according to recent reports, they're having trouble making their payments, and the property is worth less today. Explain what's happening as you understand it.
Well, it's not really that surprising, and we're seeing this same kind of problem creep into other over-mortgaged deals like at Riverton and Delano Village in Harlem. And basically it's as you said, you know, people made incredibly optimistic projections about the growth in income over time and also the expenses over time. A lot of these projections were just extremely unrealistic. Now, I think the good news for something like Stuyvesant Town, which people should really keep in mind, is that you really do have an owner who's at least made a commitment to a long-term ownership of the project. So we hope that that remains the case. And also, there is real value in Stuyvesant Town. There's no question that, you know, you're going to see there's less value than what was borrowed, and there's going to be fallout in terms of both the mortgagee and the mortgagor. You know, there's no way that that debt can be supportive. But this is not a project that has no value today on the marketplace, and in the future it will continue to. So, you know, the big concern and the thing I think that people should keep in mind when they look at these kinds of multifamily deals is that, you know, the asset needs to be protected, because unlike the single-family homeowner market, where both the borrower and the lender are both at risk, but the borrower is actually benefiting and in very much a decision-making role. Okay. Here, the tenants in rental multifamily buildings are, you know, completely out of the decision-making chain. And so any kind of a market correction, unlike on the single-family side, which falls on the homeowner as well as the lender, on the multifamily side, these market corrections can fall onto the actual tenants, who played absolutely no part. So what you want to make sure is that the asset is protected, the buildings are maintained properly.
Right. And along those lines, there are probably a lot of people listening right now who are thinking, good, because when Tishman Speyer bought Stuytown, 73% of the units were rent stabilized, and the plan was to convert those rent-stabilized units to luxury rentals as fast as they could, but apparently the conversions moved slower than they had expected. Is this because they had trouble pushing the rent-stabilized tenants out?
Well, I'm not sure if it's trouble pushing them out. I think people are actually making a little bit too much of the notion that both these rosy optimistic projections can't take place because somehow, you know, the rent stabilization laws stand in their way. I think there actually is a real market, and I think there was always a question, even if there was no rent stabilization, whether or not they could command the kind of rents that they were expecting in Stuyvesant Town. I mean, ironically, in New York, we're so accustomed to thinking about, a massive housing shortages, which, of course, we have. But on the high end, when you're talking about the rental market of, you know, $3,000 and up. In fact, it's a fairly robust market, and people have choices who are, you know, looking to pay those kinds of rents.
So you think even with the financial collapse of some companies this week and 35,000 projected lost jobs on Wall Street in the city this year, that Tishman's could still get rents of $3,000 for a one-bedroom, $4,000 for a two-bedroom as these become vacant?
No, I'm actually saying the opposite. What I'm saying is people who are in that kind of a rental market have many, many choices in front of them other than Stuyvesant Town.
Uh-huh.
And I think Stuyvesant Town is, it's not just a question of you can't get rent-stabilized tenants out or people aren't moving out at the projected rate that they were expecting. You know, I think the market is not where they think it is.
You also can't get those new tenants in, you're saying, at those rates. So what would happen now, theoretically, to the current renters? Is it likely that Tishman's buyer facing all this debt and not able to turn over and get the rents that they thought they would do what a lot of management companies do when they're going through financial trouble and skimp out on maintenance and services?
Well, certainly we hope not. And again, I think Stuyvesant Town is somewhat unique here because it does have an owner that has a long-term interest in New York. You know, it's not a pool of foreign investors where, you know, you can't even figure out who's running the properties. Those kinds of deals are extremely troubling. So, you know, we hope that that wouldn't be the case, and there's certainly not a lot of evidence in the history of Tishman Speyer's dealings in their buildings that would be the case. It also is their key asset, so it wouldn't make a lot of financial sense for them to do that. Now, certainly there's issues been raised in terms of the actual tenancy and the quality of life and, you know, people, you know, raising objections to apartments being rented by multiple students and other things. And that's, you know, that's certainly a legitimate concern for the tenants.
They're using
there.
Some of it as, in effect, a dorm area for
exactly.
NYU, right?
Exactly. But the physical plant, you know, we certainly would expect it to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, in other, you know, again, Stuyvesant Town is in a way the rosiest of these problematic.
So in our short time remaining, and we have Governor Patterson coming on momentarily, we keep hearing about the potential collapse or at least decline in the condo market because a lot of high-paid Wall Street folks bought up a lot of these, you know, high-priced condos. And yet there's still new construction going on all over the city. Probably that was in the pipeline before all this.
Absolutely.
And so many may become rental properties, which are now being dubbed nondos by the blog
right.
Curbed. So does this and the fact that New York City is growing in population put pressure on the rental market and drive rents up?
You know, I don't know if you're going to see actually rents driving up. I think it's going to be very much neighborhood by neighborhood. I think the real concern and the thing that we have to look to is not so much the impact of the over-leveraged multifamily deals on projects like Stuyvesant Town, which, again, have less value than was bargained for in this financial transaction, but still has a lot of value. The real worry are the bundles of, you know, 20 multifamily rental properties that were bought and sold in the Bronx to some pooled group of investors, securitized. You can't even figure out who owns the property and whether properties like that will be able to pay their fuel bills this winter. I think that's a real concern. I don't know how much upward pressure you're really going to see on the rental market. So much product is going to go from condo to rental.
Uh-huh.
Again, that's mostly going to be a phenomenon,
uh-huh.
a Manhattan phenomenon. But, you know, there's real worry about the multifamily buildings in the Bronx, in northern Manhattan, in parts of Queens and Brooklyn that may now be in the hands of a securitized trust, which has not really got the same sort of interest in maintaining it. And there's going to be
right.
some big fuel bills to be faced this winter.
And we'll come back to those in a separate look in a separate segment. Geralyn Perrine, Executive Director of the Citizens Housing and Planning Council, former Commissioner of the New York City Department of Housing Preservation and Development. Thank you so much.
Thank you.